Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 4th of January, 2009. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. Well, I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas and a great new year so far as well. I'm sorry for the lack of sermons in the last couple of weeks, but there's been a really nasty cold going around the church and I've had it as well, so I haven't been able to do anything on the podcast front. But we're back this week for the new year. And Andy's going to be looking at Epiphany and that Jesus is Lord of everything. And we'll also be hearing from a few people in the church about what God's been saying for them for NBC in 2009. So let's go over and join Andy as he's introducing the service.
Christmas isn't quite over, is it? The tree's still up, after all. There's a phrase that some of you may have heard recently, if you've heard of a preacher called Mark Stibbe from Chorley Wood. I think he's come up with a phrase which goes something like this. It's not about the bling, it's about the king. Have you heard that? I like that. Switch it the other way. It's about the king. It's not about the bling. I really like that. Do you know what bling is? Most of you do. Bling is this sort of thing. It's a sort of, chains and bracelets and all those things that we wear to sort of weigh us down. It's the accessories. It's the add-ons. It's the extra bits. And whatever Christmas is about. It's not about the bling. It's about the King. It's about King Jesus. And this morning, or today, is Epiphany Sunday, which may mean more or less to some of you. But I think it's tomorrow, actually. Epiphany is tomorrow, but Tuesday. Thank you, Philip. Trust you for knowing, brother. Epiphany is that time when we remember that Jesus was visited by the Magi, the wise men, whatever you want to call them, the Magi. And that speaks to us about the King, not the bling, about the fundamentals, about who it is, and about what it's about. And we're going to come to worship Jesus this morning. Let me read to you the account from Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the peoples, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written: But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So we come to worship the King. We come to worship Jesus as we meet together this morning. Before we come to our first couple of songs, let's just be still. come. We come to worship. We come to worship Jesus. We come to worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The God who is immortal, invisible, God only wise, and yet the God who has revealed himself to all mankind in Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's worship immortal, invisible, God only wise. In some ways, I really wasn't sure how to go through this morning. What I want to do is just share with you something that I believe the Lord's laid on my heart for us. I have alluded to it in previous weeks and months. Just want to share that with you, just briefly. Then we're going to, following that, we're going to have a time of worship again, where we're going to come and focus on the Lord Jesus. Remember, it's about the King, it's not about the bling. I love that phrase. You're going to go from this, if you don't remember anything, you're going to go with that. We use that a lot in my house at the moment. Remember, it's about the King, not about the bling. And may we go with that this morning as we come to worship the Lord Jesus for who he is and all that he's done. How are you feeling about yourself? You feeling good? Yeah. It's been a busy time, hasn't it? It's been a busy time. I've got good news for you, folks. If you buy the Sunday Times today, you can discover a new and younger you. Those in favour? Yeah? A new and younger you. How to look great for your age. Nah, you don't need to look at that. Apparently all you have to do is buy a big bottle of youth juice. And then you could end up looking like her. Yes, it's mind-blowing. But anyway, there you are. What I find fascinating is that it says, how to look great for your age, plus a glowing diet with tasty recipes. And then next to it is a thing that says, eat out from £5. I mean, heck. There are two things in my house that consistently and persistently tell lies. Any ideas? Yes. You're brilliant. The scales, yeah. And the mirror, brilliant. Do you have that problem too then? Fascinating, isn't it? Yeah, these two things, they consistently and persistently tell lies. And I don't know what I'm going to do about it. But anyway, my mind. Also, does your mind also tell lies sometimes? Does it say, you're no good. You're no good at that. Sometimes I felt pretty rubbish about things, and my mind's told me, yeah, you're not very good at that, are you? So-and-so is much better at doing that. Does your mind tell you lies as well? Who do we believe? And what do we believe? What do we believe about ourselves? Who do we trust? Who are we going to listen to? I've got a... I think this is a Ken McGreevy quote. But he said this. And as well as... Remember, it's about the king, not about the bling. Write this one down. Write this down. Ken McGreevy said, let the word shape our experience. Let the word shape our experience. Don't allow our experience to shape our theology. I think that's brilliant for a New Year's Sunday morning. Let the word shape our experience. Don't let our experience shape our theology, our understanding of God. For instance, we may be people who say, well, God can't love me. Not what the word says. We may be people who say, God doesn't heal today. It's not what the word says. We may be people who doubt God's ability to transform lives. Do you feel that? I have to say, sometimes I wrestle, I'm a bit afraid about the gospel. Can I say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Yes, I can say it. Yes, I believe it, but I'm a bit afraid. Because I look in the world and I think, can this gospel of the Lord Jesus really change lives? And I've got someone here nodding his head frantically because, yes, it can. But we may be people who are a bit nervous about the gospel and its ability to transform lives. Do we believe that Jesus can transform lives? Do we believe that Jesus can make a difference in this world? Our experience may tell us other things. But it's not what the word says. The word says Jesus can transform lives. The word says Jesus does transform lives. Let us be people whom the word, we allow the word to shape our experience rather than allowing our experience, our limited experience, to determine to shape our theology, our understanding of God. If we're people who allow our experience, our limited experience, to shape our theology, our understanding of God, then God will have limits. He will be able to do certain things. And those certain things that he's able to do are determined by our ability to believe him to do those certain things. Let us be people who are shaped by the word. God's word. Because if it is God's word, it is God's word then, it is God's word for us today. What a wonderful thing we have in God's word. Let us be people who are shaped by God's word and by his living Holy Spirit. Not people who allow our experience to shape our theology. Do you know the exciting thing about that? Is that it'll mean this year we'll experience more of God's love, experience more of God's power, experience more of what God wants to do in your life. Experience more of what God wants to do in our life. Because if we're open to God's word and we read something on God's word, we say, well, yes, that's possible. Because it's God's word. It was God's word then, it's God's word for us today. And so we're open to what God might want to do. Let us be people who allow God's word to shape our experience this year. And not allow our experience to shape our theology. I asked a number of weeks ago if people wanted to sense, to write down things that they sensed that God had placed on their hearts for this church, for this coming year. And I was thrilled with the responses. And someone wrote, Malcolm, it was you. I'm going to struggle to remember. What did you write, Malcolm? What was your heart? What was your prayer? Do you mind me asking? Sorry to put you on the spot. You're going to struggle now to remember. I can jog your memory a little bit. Can you remember what you wrote?
The last verses of Mark chapter 16 in the Byzantine Bible.
In the Byzantine Bible. Can you remember what it says?
I'll get someone who can read it.
I can read it. Mark chapter 16. The last verse. This was what, amongst other things, was written down. Verse 20. You want from verse 17? I'm just picking out one of them. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. The reason I wanted to focus on that is because it's saying the word wasn't for them and for them and for them, but it's for us. May we be people who say, yes, this is possible, because we're going to allow our experience of God to be shaped by his word. Not to allow our experience to shape our theology, to limit our understanding of who God is. I want to just say very briefly, I'm going to give folks an opportunity, if they want to share something in a moment they can, before we come back to worship. It's all about the King. It's not about the bling. It's about King Jesus. And we are here to serve King Jesus. Our loyalty is to King Jesus. And I want to come back very briefly to Epiphany and the Magi. Did you watch much television over the Christmas period? Some of you haven't even got television, I know. Yes, some of you did. Yes, wasn't it absolute rubbish? We bought the Radio Times and then decided not to watch any of it. Yeah. I think it was the only thing I watched on Christmas Day, actually, and it was so disappointing. But it was this debate about about who the Magi were. Did anybody else watch that? Dear, oh dear, oh dear. And actually, if it wasn't so sad, it would have been amusing. Because they were asking the question, who were these people and for what purpose did they come? And, were the Magi wise men? Were they kings? And they gave some good explanation why we thought perhaps that they were kings. Were they astrologers? Or were they magicians? And there was this sort of question about who they were and what they were and what they were there to do. Personally, I think, as I was thinking about this and reading about it, I think, and I need to look into this, but I think there are echoes in this story of the encounter with Moses and the Egyptian magicians. And that's an Old Testament story, and this is a New Testament story about that encounter. And I think these people were probably stargazing magicians. They did things that Christians shouldn't get involved in. And yet they're here at the very beginning of the story. Magic. They were experts in the magic arts. And what was so interesting about this program, so sad about it in many ways, was that they were getting so hot under the collar about who these people were. In fact, the guy that was running the program was a Christian theologian. My word, if you're allowed to say it, I don't know in a church, but boy did he get his knickers in a twist. He really did. Such that his concluding comments were to deny that this ever happened, but that it was simply an allegory, a story with a meaning. They completely missed the point of the story. You see, the point of the story is that whoever these people were, magicians, blah-de-blah, blah, it really doesn't matter. What matters is that whoever they were, they understood that Jesus was Lord. Whoever they were, with all their status, and evidently they had some, with all their power, wherever it came from, the point is that they understood that Jesus was king. They understood that they were subject to him. They understood that they had to kneel before him. They understood that they had to worship him. They understood that they had to bring him gifts, not the other way around. Oh, may we be people who allow our experience to be shaped by God's word and not allow our experience to shape our theology. Brothers and sisters, this is the simple message for today. Jesus is Lord. Scripture tells us, as is revealed in this story of the Magi, whoever they were, that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is King. Scripture tells us, doesn't it, that one day every knee shall bow, and one day every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's it. That's all I want to say. Jesus is anybody else like to share anything? Come up, come up, if anybody wants to share. Come on, Philip. Anybody else wants to say anything about this wonderful Jesus?
I've been getting very excited about this Tuesday night. Epiphany, as you probably know, means showing forth. First time, according to Scripture, that non-Jews came to see Jesus, which indicates that Jesus came not just for the Jews, but for everybody. And showing forth, this is what we are here for. And this wonderful Mark verse, the end of his gospel, that we've just had, is about us. We are here to show forth to Minehead that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
That's our job. And we've been given the tools to do it. The gifts, the abilities. And that's for us. And that's why we're on Tuesday night, Epiphany, we're going to start the showing forth of Jesus as Lord to this community, to our friends, to our families, but particularly to this area where we live. And I've just been sort of hopping around. I hear that originally it was going to be Monday, not...
Oh.
Somebody on the...
Oh, that's Anglicans for you. They'll just change the...
Somebody in this church of the higher echelons of eldership or deaconship told me that it would be changed from Monday to Tuesday. I thought, well, that's magnificent, because Tuesday is the day.
Well, we didn't even know that, brother, but that's fantastic. Yeah, no, that's... Bless you. God bless you. Yeah. Anybody else just want to come? Come on, let's be nice and relaxed. It's great. Come on. The showing forth, I like that. And it coincidentally, yes, I hadn't even clicked that was when our half night of prayer. Yes. Thank you, Lord. What a lovely coincidence. Huh. Come on, somebody else. Come share something. Come on, Jane and Barry. Ella, are you going to come as well? Going to come with Mum? And we're going to come to worship Jesus.
Over the Christmas time, God gave me these verses from Jeremiah, and sorry, I feel really tearful. I don't know why. And I think it's because I'm praying for people for whom life is really difficult at the moment. Mm. We all know people that are really struggling, and in crisis situations, you just think, God, what do I think? What do I feel? And I always think that God says to me, Jenny, what do you see? And we have to learn to see differently. We have to learn to have a different perspective, and that perspective can only be got from what God says and from his word. And I was looking at Jeremiah 31, and it says here, it talks about God's bounty. For the Lord will ransom Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine and the oil, the young of the flocks and herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Then maidens will dance and be glad, young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because her children are no more. This is what the Lord says. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy, so there is hope for your future, declares the Lord. And I just know that the Lord is telling me to have a different perspective, to see things differently. And I believe that's a word for the church as well, that we need to learn to see things differently and rely on what God says for us, rely on the love that he has for us.
Jesus is Lord. Amen. Barry, come. Amen. Yeah. Changes our perspective somehow, doesn't it? when we actually say, yes, Jesus is Lord. May we be shaped by his word.
I used to do a lot of singing. I don't anymore.
Oh.
And for some weeks now, obviously it was the Lord laying it on my heart, was that today I should sing a solo. But I didn't ask Andy about it because embarrassment, I suppose. In fact, I wrote him a note. This is a note. But when he started speaking, he was talking about God changing people's lives, and Tony's head was nearly falling off his shoulders. I think the song that God laid on, and I'm not going to sing it, because I haven't got the music, or, I haven't got the music, the words or anything with me, was that it is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. And that has been burdening me every day, and I realise now that it was from God, and I was just disobedient to what he was saying, but that is a fact. What God has done for others, he can do for you. He's doing a work in my life, which is a tremendous amount of untangling. The Lord gave me a picture the other week. It was one of these old meat mincers, and all the lumps were being pushed in and being ground up and coming out the other end and being made into a string of sausages. And my life is going through that mincer and coming out.
Hallelujah.
Being able to make it made into something. Thank you.
Yes. Come. It is no secret what God can do. What he did for me.
What he did for others, he'll do for you.
He'll do for you. Can I just say that one of the things we really want to do this year is to help you and me, help us to be the people that God has made us to be. And so many of us at times past have been messed up like that wretched thing and have been injured and wounded, that's affecting our now, that we're allowing our experience to shape our theology, to shape our expectancy of what God can do. And one of the things we really want to do is help you individually and help us together to get healed, to get restored, to allow the image of God that he has made in each one of us to come to the front. That's why we've got a prayer ministry team. And we offer that to you, to come and be prayed for. We want to pray you through that process of healing, restoration, that we may be the people that God wants us to be. There is what he has done for others, he can do for you and for me. Malcolm.
I just wanted to speak of Bishop Tom Wright, a blog he wrote on the internet. I was delighted. He spoke of confronting the principalities and powers with the news that Jesus is Lord. And I was reveling in that this morning. But he connected that with a holiness, a walk of life that would commend that news. That's all I wanted to say.
Yes.
Holiness in our walk, that will confront the principalities and powers with the news that Jesus is Lord.
Amen. I said amen to that.
You said amen. Amen and amen. And get caught, Jane. And Malcolm, you'll be pleased to know that was the main bit of my sermon, was about confronting the principalities and powers. I'll share a verse with you. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 13. The army of Uzziah, a mighty, powerful force in the hands of the king to help the king against his enemies. And I think, I'll come back to it, because I think that's what God wants us to be shaped by his word, to be an army for the Lord, in his hand, a powerful resource for Jesus in his fight against his enemies. Sorry. Not at all. Why do you apologise?
I heard on the radio over Christmas about airports where they're not allowed to use the word bomb because it's a powerful word. It stops things happening. And the guy who was saying was that the name of Jesus is the power that stops things happening, that Jesus is Lord. And if we use the name of Jesus, we so often say God or faith or church, and we don't say Jesus. And there is power in the name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord, and we are seated in heavenly places with Jesus. This isn't real. Yes. Jesus is real. Amen. And the word reality and the word Jesus just keeps coming and coming and coming. And we need to speak Jesus out over this town, over our lives this year.
Let's worship.
Let's come now and worship the King of Kings, our special Jesus.
Like to leave a comment on today's sermon, please do so over on the website at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And of course you can also use the website to find out what's happening here at Minehead Baptist Church. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed. I'll speak to you soon, and remember, it's about the King, not about the bling.